Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve. The Kraft Cheese Company, who also bring you Bing Crosby every Thursday night, present each week at this time The Great Gildersleeve, written by John Wheaton and Sam Moore. We'll join The Great Gildersleeve in just a few seconds. If you're puzzled over how to please your guests these next two holiday weekends, here's a happy solution to your mealtime, lunchtime problems. Be sure to have on hand a package or two of Pabstette, the delicious golden cheese food. Pabstette, you see, is a very special cheese food, as it's particularly suited to very special occasions. Pabstette spreads so easily and slices so neatly that you can whip up a tempting tray of appetizers in a jiffy. And that's just one of many ways you can delight your guests with the taste-tingling cheddar cheese flavor of Pabstette. Pabstette melts with luscious smoothness into grand cheese sauces for hot vegetables, fish, egg, and chicken dishes. And for dessert that's sure to win extra compliments, serve Pabstette melted over apple pie. It's a fine energy food, and Pabstette is nourishing, wholesome, easy to digest. So for all sorts of delightful, nourishing treats for the holidays, be sure to get Pabstette from your dealer tomorrow. Pabstette, the delicious golden cheese food of 100 uses. Well, in Summerfield, too, Christmas is almost at hand. But for Gildersleeve and his household, there is little cheer in the prospect. For as we learned last week, Gildersleeve has had a falling out with his niece, the apple of his eye. It was one of those family feuds where everybody went off half-cocked.
Don't you talk like that about Wally Hoff.
I'll say what I please about Wally Hoff, and don't let me catch you going out with him again. 3 o'clock in the morning.
I'm old enough to choose my own friends. I'll go out with him if I like.
You go out with him again, young lady, and you'll stay out. Just take your choice.
All right, I will.
That was yesterday. Marjorie left home without a word and hasn't been seen since. Now, after a miserable, sleepless night and a glum breakfast, Gildersleeve rises from the table prepared to take steps.
By George, I can't stand this.
What are you going to do, Unc?
Yeah, what you going to do, Mr. Gildersleeve?
I'm going to put an ad in the paper.
An ad?
I don't care whether it makes me look foolish or not.
You mean, come home, all is forgiven. One of those?
Yes, that's very good, my boy. Come home, Marjorie, all is forgiven.
Excuse me, Mr. Gildersleeve, but who is forgiving who?
What's that?
Seems like it might work better if Miss Marjorie was doing the forgiving. Just a suggestion.
Yeah, you know these redheads when they get their back up.
I see what you mean. Well, confound it! How can I apologize to her if she doesn't stick around? What do you think I ought to do, Bertie?
I don't know, Mr. Gildersleeve, but I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm praying.
Not a bad idea.
Yes, sir. 'Cause last night something came to me, and it wasn't good.
What was it, Bertie?
Mr. Gildersleeve, you don't think maybe the Black Hand has got her?
Hey, Bertie's right. Maybe some gang is holding her for ransom.
Bertie, you've been reading Leroy's comic books.
Well, it ain't like Marjorie to stay away from home all night, and that's a fact.
She might be lying somewhere bound and gagged with adhesive tape over her mouth.
Nonsense. You saw her telegram.
Yeah, but it could be a fake. Or maybe they made her write it by holding candles to her bare feet.
Nonsense.
They do. They tie you in a kitchen chair with your arms behind you like this.
Leroy's right, Mr. Gildersleeve. I think maybe they ought to be searching the woods or dragging the reservoir or something.
Oh, it's ridiculous. A thing like that couldn't happen to Marjorie.
I don't know, Mr. Gildersleeve. I noticed some strange people around here lately.
What kind of people?
Well, that new milkman. I don't trust him. He's got a wandering eye.
The milkman's all right. It's tramps and people like that you've got to look out for. Suspicious characters.
Yeah.
They move into a town and hide out for a few days till they spot the most prominent people. The ones they think have money.
Yeah.
What am I talking about? The whole thing's ridiculous. I wish you two'd shut up. You've got me nervous. Just because Marjorie flew off the handle. Just because she didn't say where she was going. Just because she stayed out one night. By George, ridiculous or not, I'm not taking any chances. I'm going to get up a searching party.
A posse, that's what we need, Unc.
I'll get the judge. He can swear us in as deputies. And Floyd, He's got a hunting rifle.
His brother raises bloodhounds.
We'll get him, too. And Doc Pettibone.
Can I come, Unc? I'll bring my BB gun.
No, you'll go to school.
There's no school today.
Oh.
Nothing but that Christmas play this afternoon.
Well, go there and give your performance.
Who wants to be in a Christmas play when his sister's being held prisoner somewhere in a one-room cabin?
You're not going to use this as an excuse to get out of that play, young man. Miss Goodwin's worked hard on it, and I want you to do the best you can.
You care more about Miss Goodwin than you do about finding Marjorie.
That's not true.
Then why can't I come? She's my sister.
Now, let's not get excited. Nothing's happened to your sister.
Front door. I'll go.
Calm yourself. Nothing's happened to Marjorie. She's perfectly all right.
Good morning, Judge Hooker.
Judge, you're just in time. Marjorie's been kidnapped.
Raise your right hand. I, Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve.
I, Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve.
Being duly sworn. Do hereby promise that I will uphold the laws and constitution of this state.
Do hereby promise that I will uphold the Constitution and laws.
Laws and Constitution.
What?
Laws and Constitution.
What's the difference?
That's the oath. I didn't write it. Just say it, will you?
Laws and Constitution of this state.
Well, I guess that does it. By virtue of the authority vested within me, I now pronounce you a deputy sheriff.
Where's the badge?
Yes, what about a badge?
I haven't any badges. I don't carry them with me.
How's he going to scare anybody?
The duty of a deputy sheriff is not primarily to scare people, Leroy.
He ought to have a badge anyway. Even the junior G-men have badges.
There's something in what the boy says, Judge. Come in, Floyd.
Floyd!
Hello there, Judge. Well, I closed up shop the minute you called, Mr. Gildersleeve. Just stopped by the house to pick up my gun here.
Thanks, Floyd. I don't like to ask this of you.
Glad to do it. Gosh, if Marjorie was my girl, I'd feel the same.
Swear him in, Judge.
Don't need to.
He swore me in the time the camel got loose from the circus.
Oh. Well, first we'll pick up Doc Pettibone, then I thought we'd go out to the edge of town and start beating through the woods around Green Lake. You know, where we went moose hunting.
Good idea. Even if we don't get any kidnappers, we might get a shot at a rabbit.
Well, now, wait a minute, Floyd. I think we ought to keep this exclusively a manhunt. If we don't, we'll never find Marjorie.
But suppose we just happen to see a rabbit.
You may shoot in self-defense.
I suggest we form some sort of an organization before we start. In my opinion, Floyd should be the leader.
I'll ask you to kindly remember whose niece we're looking for, Judge.
But gosh, Unc, Floyd's got a gun.
So have I.
But Floyd's got a badge, too.
So he has. I think you should let me wear the badge, Floyd.
I don't see why.
All right, keep it. Nothing but a piece of tin, anyway.
It is not. It's the official badge of a deputy sheriff.
Forget the badge, Floyd. You too, Gildy. Let's get started looking for Marjorie.
We've got to wait for the dogs, Judge.
Dogs?
Floyd's brother is bringing his bloodhounds.
Oh?
Well, they're not exactly bloodhounds. They're more of a fox terrier.
Who ever heard of a manhunt with fox terriers?
They're not pure fox terrier. There's a lot of Airedale on their mother's side.
What you're trying to say, Floyd, is the dogs are mutts.
Well, now, Judge, I think that's going a little far.
You're just quibbling, Judge. If we don't get started pretty...
That must be Harry now, with the dogs.
Hello, Throckmorton.
Oh, hello, Leela. I was expecting some dogs.
Well, I hope I'm not too much of a disappointment.
Oh, no. Come in, won't you?
Thank you. Mercy, what are all these people doing here? Good morning, Judge.
Good morning, Leela.
Who's that man with the shotgun?
That's just Floyd, Leela. He's my barber.
I still don't understand what he's doing with the shotgun.
Well...
Floyd, this is Mrs. Ransom.
Oh, I seen her going past the shop many's the time. Pleased to meet you.
How do you do? Throckmorton, may I ask, what in the name of goodness is going on here?
This is no business for a woman, Leela. I've got man's work to do this morning.
And two men to help him.
Well, what is it you're going to do, all you men?
We're forming a posse to go out and find Marjorie.
What?
She's probably in the hands of kidnappers, Mrs. Ransom.
That's what I'm afraid of, Leela.
Why, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of.
There's nothing ridiculous about it. It's a very serious situation, and we're going to start out as soon as the bloodhounds get here.
Come over here a minute, Throckmorton. I want to have a word with you.
But I've got to start out on this search, Leela.
Please, Throckmorton.
Oh, all right. Excuse me a minute, fellas.
Now, Throckmorton, you listen to me. We've been good friends, haven't we?
Confound it, Leela. This is no time for billing and cooing.
I'm not suggesting any billing and cooing, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Snoopy old goat listens to everything.
I do not.
Never mind him. All I want to know is if you find Marjorie, how are you going to treat her?
What do you mean by that, Leela?
Are you going to behave like a bossy old-fashioned father, or are you going to treat Marjorie with a little horse sense for a change?
I've learned my lesson, Leela. If I find her, I'll never say a harsh word to her again.
Well, I think this expedition with shotguns and all is just silly. You're likely to find Marjorie much closer to home.
Oh? What do you know about it, Leela?
Didn't you ever hear of women's intuition?
We're not relying on women's intuition, or a Ouija board either. We're going to search this town scientifically. And when we find those kidnappers...
Oh, poo.
Leela, we're on a dangerous mission. Doesn't that mean anything to you?
You sound just like Beauregard starting out on a fishing trip.
All right, make fun. We're going to find Marjorie. Are you ready, men?
Sure, we're ready.
Been ready for hours.
That must be Harry now.
All right, to the manhunt. Floyd, shoulder arms. Judge, attention. Posse, forward march.
Hello, Uncle Mort. Where are you going?
Going out to find my niece. Don't bother me. Forward, Marjorie. Sweet little Marjorie. Is it really you?
It's really me. Is it all right for me to come home?
My dear, I've been worried half sick about you. Please come home to your old uncle and never go away again.
I never will.
How do you like that? Now I gotta cut hair all afternoon.
Oh, Floyd. Guess I won't be needing the posse now. Thanks just the same. Much obliged to you too, Judge.
Well, I'm glad it's all turned out all right. Come on, Floyd.
Okay. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas! Hi, Marge. Glad you're back.
Leroy, it's so good to see you. Oh, you...
No kissing now.
Aren't you glad to see me?
Yeah, but I gotta be in that play this afternoon, and I'm saving my strength for Ethel Hammerslag.
We'll be there to watch you, my boy. Marjorie, aren't you going to say hello to Mrs. Ransom?
Well...
Throckmorton, you silly... Where do you think Marjorie's been for the last 24 hours?
I don't know. I haven't any idea. Leela, has Marjorie been right there, right next door, all this time?
Yes, she has, Throckmorton.
Well, that's not my idea of a humorous practical joke.
Wait a minute, Uncle Mort. I was starting to run away, and Mrs. Ransom talked me out of it.
Then why didn't you come right home? I was suffering.
I knew you'd suffer, Throckmorton, but I wanted to teach you a lesson.
Well... I'm glad you did it. I hope I've learned it. Marjorie, if I ever try to boss you again, pay no attention to me.
I want you to boss me, Uncle Mort. You're always right.
No, I'm not.
You were right about Wally.
No, I wasn't. He's a fine boy. He's been worried about you, too.
Well, I don't think I'll see him anymore.
You should, Marjorie.
But I don't want to.
Marjorie, call up Wally Hoff this instant.
Throckmorton.
Oh, I mean, call him if you want to, my dear.
The Great Gildersleeve will be with us again in a few seconds. Here's a tip to you homemakers who are worried about stretching ration points through the two holiday weekends. Serve more of the plentiful non-ration foods, but do this one thing extra. Give them a festive touch of delicious flavor with Pabstet, the point thrifty golden cheese food of 100 uses. Pabstet makes mellow cheddar cheese flavor go a long way toward satisfying hungry holiday appetites. And it's a sure bet that Pabstet will please all your guests, because it's so delicious in so many tempting ways. Pabstet melts to a smooth golden cheese sauce that sparks up the flavor of macaroni, vegetables, eggs, chicken, any number of foods. It slices easily for serving with desserts, spreads and toast to perfection for sandwiches and snacks. And to all these exciting treats, Pabstet adds nourishing goodness, helps provide bodybuilding proteins, food energy, milk minerals, and important vitamin A. So head up your holiday shopping list with delicious golden Pabstet. Pabstet in the handy round flat package. Well, it's beginning to look more like Christmas for our friend the great Gildersleeve, whom we join now in the auditorium of the Summerfield Grammar School. He and his niece Marjorie, along with several hundred other parents, relatives, and friends, are enjoying Miss Eve Goodwin's production of The Christmas Carol. But the show is almost over. In fact, we have arrived just in time to hear the epilogue, which is being read by Gildersleeve's nephew Leroy.
Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father.
The boy has real talent, Marjorie.
Yes, he has.
He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city ever knew. And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be said of all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us everyone.
Well, well, little Leroy.
I think he was really wonderful.
Fine, fine. I couldn't have done any better myself. Ah, good afternoon, Judge.
Throckmorton? Marjorie?
Fine show, wasn't it?
I'd say it was pretty close to professional.
Well, I just never thought Leroy had it in him.
Leroy played his part well. Good characterization. But if you ask me, they all did well. I believe Miss Goodwin should be given a lot of credit for directing the production.
You're right, Judge. And as a member of the school board, I think I'll go backstage right now and tell her so.
As another member, I'll go with you.
Horace, there's no use both of us going.
Why not?
Oh, Judge, I was hoping you'd take me over to the refreshment table and buy me some sherbet.
Well, Marjorie, I can't resist an opportunity like that. Go on, Throckmorton. I'll have fun with the younger generation.
All right, Judge. Marjorie, you're a very tactful young lady.
Have a good time, Uncle Mort. But don't forget, you're on the school board.
I don't know what you mean.
See you later, Gildy.
Now, if I... pardon me. Oh, Merry Christmas! Excuse me. Could I get through here, please? Never saw so many people. Ah! Now, she must be somewhere back here.
Hiya, Unc. Looking for me?
Oh, you... yes, Leroy, I wanted to congratulate you on your fine performance, my boy.
Thanks.
Whole show was fine.
It would have been better, except Scrooge got lost. He left out a whole page.
Is that so? Well, I'm sure no one noticed it. All the actors made a very good impression.
Okay, let's go home, huh? We still have to fix our tree.
Yes, I thought I might have a word with Miss Goodwin. Tell her how much we all enjoyed her entertainment.
Oh, I get it.
Just common courtesy, Leroy. Is she alone?
I think so. She's in the gymnasium, 2 doors down the hall.
Thank you, my boy. Here. Here's a quarter. Go buy yourself some sherbet.
Okay. But hurry up, will you?
I won't be long. Well, hello, Eve.
Hello, Throckmorton.
What's going on in here?
Oh, nothing. I'm just packing up the properties.
What's all this?
Oh, the decorations? There's going to be a little dance tonight for the 8th graders. Sit down, won't you?
Just want to congratulate you on a wonderful production.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I've never enjoyed The Christmas Carol so much.
Oh, it is a lovely story, isn't it?
Yes, but you made it a lot better than Dickens ever could by himself.
Well, it's nice of you to say so. I thought Leroy gave an awfully good performance this afternoon.
Well, he's a chip off the old block. That reminds me, which little girl was Ethel Hammerschlag?
Well, she played the part of Leroy's wife.
But she's beautiful. Is that the girl Leroy's been complaining he had to kiss?
He fought it like a steer.
By George, I'm going to have to give that boy a tonic.
I wouldn't worry about him. I think when he finally got around to it, he liked it. How did you like the sets for our play, Throckmorton? I had designed them myself.
Beautiful. Just like a slice of old England. And that dining room scene, I could almost smell the plum pudding.
That scene. We'd borrow the table from Hogan Brothers, and we almost lost it.
How could you lose a dining room table?
Well, they sold it and sent a van to take it away right in the middle of the show.
You don't say. The people that go to a show don't realize what's going on behind the scenes, do they?
If they ever had any idea.
Yes. Eve, could I take you home?
I can't go home yet, Throckmorton. I have to go out and supervise the refreshments and talk to all the parents and, you know.
Oh, well, I thought it would be fun to walk along and look in the windows and see all the Santa Clauses and say Merry Christmas to everybody. Can't you get away?
Not for a couple of hours, I'm sure.
Well, I guess I'd better be going. Eve, what's that over there?
What?
Hanging near the window.
Why, I don't know.
Come here. Let's see.
I don't even see what you're talking about.
Now do you see?
Oh!
Mistletoe.
Now, Throckmorton, there are people around and...
Merry Christmas, Eve!
Mwah! Ooh.
Well, well, Christmas comes but once a year, but it's great.
Throckmorton, you're naughty.
But why? If you can't kiss a girl named Eve on Christmas Eve, under the mistletoe, what good is democracy? What good is Christmas?
Hey, Marge, look at the tree now. Beginning to get pretty good, isn't it?
Very good, Leroy.
You didn't even look.
Yes, I did.
You didn't notice the big novelty.
Novelty? What have you thought up now?
There it is.
I don't get it.
Oh, for corn's sake, the tinfoil spells Xmas.
Oh, well, that's beautiful, Leroy. You spelled it right, too.
Are you kidding? I was going to put 1943 underneath, but there wasn't enough stuff.
That must be Uncle Mort.
Yeah, boy, he really congratulated Miss Goodwin all right.
Well, well, happy little family. Why, the tree's almost finished.
Yeah, do you like it?
Beautiful. And it says Christmas. Your work, Leroy?
Yep. Good, huh?
Very clever, my boy. Prevent visitors from mistaking it for an Easter lily.
I never get any appreciation around here.
I appreciate you, Leroy. The tree looks fine. Seems to be leaning a little, though.
Yeah, I think the stand is cockeyed.
It's very simple, Leroy. Take off all the decorations, saw the bottom off the tree, put the stand back on, trim the tree again, and it'll still be cockeyed.
Why don't you just leave it? It looks more natural, leaning a little.
That's what I say. Looks woodsy. Smells woodsy, too.
Well, that takes care of the tree. Now, where shall we put the mistletoe?
Mistletoe? Who said anything about mistletoe?
I've got some. Any suggestions on where it should go?
Oh, no, my dear. Mistletoe's nothing in my life. You put it anywhere you like.
Well, how about right here in the doorway?
That's all right. That is, if you don't want any privacy.
Well, there's no use putting it in a dark closet. Nobody'll see it.
Vestibule's a good place. But as I say, it's nothing to me.
You mean inside the front door? But it's so cold out there.
You don't seem to understand the idea of mistletoe, Marjorie. But just put it anywhere. Anywhere at all. Answer the door, Leroy.
Okay.
Doorbell ring, Miss Gillsleeve?
Leroy's taking care of it, Bertie.
Oh. My, the tree looks fine.
Yes.
Sags a little, though, don't it?
We can't help that, Bertie.
It's Mr. Peavy, Unc. I think he brought us a present.
Oh, my goodness. Get a jar of Bertie's preserves and have Marjorie wrap it up, quickly.
Okay.
Then bring it. Oh! Hello, Peavy. Merry Christmas.
Ah, here you are, Mr. Gildersleeve. I've just been inspecting the mistletoe your niece is hanging in the hall there.
In the hall? That's the most public place in the house.
Well, it looks nice there.
Mistletoe is for kissing, Peavy.
Yes, I know.
Most people prefer to do their kissing unobserved. It's better that way.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. Kissing's good anywhere, if I remember correctly.
You may be right there. Sit down, won't you, Peavy?
Oh, I can't stay, really. I just dropped in to bring you the compliments of the season.
Well, the same to you. Merry Christmas.
I've brought your family a little Christmas remembrance, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, well, Peavy, we've got something for you, too.
Oh, that's not necessary. What I brought you is really nothing at all.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, knowing of Leroy's fondness for sweets and assuming Marjorie's the same...
Yes, indeed, Peavy, and so am I.
Then perhaps you'll accept this box of chocolates with the Christmas greeting of Mrs. Peavy and myself.
Chocolates! Leroy, bring down that present for Mr. Peavy.
coming up.
Well, really now, Mr. Gildersleeve.
My goodness, chocolates. Why, chocolates are rarer than pearls these days.
No, I wouldn't say that. The fact is, Mr. Gildersleeve, I found these in the store last week by accident. This particular box of chocolates somehow got in with the camphor balls.
Camphor balls? Were they in there long?
No, they couldn't have been. I check my stock pretty carefully every 6 months.
Here's your present, Mr. Peavy. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Leroy. The same to you.
It's just a little Christmas delicacy, Peavy. I hope you and Mrs. Peavy enjoy it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Saves me a trip to your house.
Gracious, I've got to be getting along.
It's not supper time yet, is it?
No, but Mrs. Peavy and I always open our stockings on Christmas Eve, and I haven't got hers filled yet.
Oh.
A candy cane's what I need, but I think I'll put in this Christmas horn instead. She'll like that.
I'm sure she will, Peavy.
Well, Merry Christmas again.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, here comes another caller for you. Good evening, Mrs. Ransom. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Peavy, and to Mrs. Peavy, too.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Well, come in, Leela.
I've brought over a few little things, Throckmorton.
A few? Why, Leela, all those packages. Leela, I believe Christmas has put roses in your cheeks.
Really, Throckmorton? How can you tell, here in the dark?
I can tell. Leela, look what's up there over your head.
Over my head? Oh, mistletoe.
That's right.
Oh, Throckmorton, all these bundles.
Merry Christmas, Leela.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Who said Christmas comes but once a year?
All right, Leroy, it's your bedtime. Come on, I'll tuck you in.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Leroy.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Come on, Aunt.
It'll be a little strange this Christmas with no presents.
War stamps are a fine present.
Then you won't mind it very much?
No, I don't mind it. It makes me feel, I don't know, kind of important, like I was really doing something.
You are, my boy. You feel all right about it, don't you?
Yeah, I feel okay.
What were you going to say?
Well, I still don't see what harm it would have done to get me a dog.
You know I'm against dogs, Leroy. Still, come here a minute.
Where?
Over here, just to the head of the cellar stairs.
Cellar stairs? What's the...
Shh. Hear anything?
A puppy!
Merry Christmas, Leroy. Get down. On behalf of our sponsors, the Kraft Cheese Company, and speaking for all of us here in the studio, I want to wish our listeners everywhere a very Merry Christmas. This year, of course, our thoughts go especially to our men and women in uniform, wherever they may be. And we join them in the hopes that next Christmas may see them all home again, safe and sound. Good night, everybody.
Music heard on this program was directed by Claude Sweetin. This is Brian Hendrickson speaking for the Kraft Cheese Company and inviting you to listen in again next Sunday for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve. Most of you homemakers I know aren't wasting a bit of food these days. And by putting all your leftovers to good use, you're right in step with the vast army of patriotic Americans who are making food fight for freedom. Since you're doing your part, I'd like to be of help by telling you how to put extra special flavor into leftover meals. Dozens of ordinary dishes turn into taste-tempting treats when you add the tantalizing flavor of Kraft Salad Mustard. It's that light, golden Kraft Salad Mustard, that just right spicy tang that puts appetite excitement into all sorts of leftover dishes. Kraft Salad Mustard is creamy smooth, blends to perfection in tasty cream sauces for vegetables, zips up the flavor of fish and cold meats, gives an extra lift to cheese fondue and Welsh rabbits. And for the somewhat sharper flavor some folks prefer, there's still another Kraft mustard, with horseradish added. Ask your dealer for either of these two popular Kraft quality mustards, Kraft salad mustard or Kraft mustard with horseradish added.
This presentation of The Great Gildersleeve starred Lee Delaney as The Great Gildersleeve. Missy Carl played Leroy with Cindy Martin Asher as Marjorie. Pam Hungate was Leela Ransom and Janet Whitaker played Eve Goodwin. Lisette Ralph played Bertie. Nick Helton was the judge. Charles Lister played Floyd the Barber, and yours truly, Bob Hutchison, played Mr. Peavy. Sound effects by John Heflin and Janet Whitaker. The production was directed by Mike Wheeler. This is Bob Hutchison inviting you to join us again next time for The Great Gildersleeve. Thank you.